including my next guest, Peter Ford, the son of actor Glenn Ford, who's written a great biography of his dad that's gotten rave reviews, and we're going to talk about that now. Good morning, Peter.
Hi, Tom.
How's the coffee this morning?
It's pretty good. My wife, she goes off to exercise class every morning at 6 o'clock, so we get up around 5:30. I'm an early bird, but I heard you mentioning about computers, and my internet server died 3 days ago, and I have not had an email for 3 days. And it, in a way, it's a blessing, and another way, I know that there are people out there trying to get to me, and I can't be gotten to. So the computers have taken us over, Tom. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I don't have a cell phone, though, so I'm still hanging on.
I have a cell phone, but fortunately, I have a wife and a daughter who are very good at computers. So
yep.
I just they're my agents on that.
Yeah.
Now, this book, Glenn Ford, A Life, is available. We mentioned the website, www.glennfordbio.com. Can they get autographed copies there?
Well, yes. You know, they can't because there's a link there to Amazon. It's inexpensive there. I think it's $16.47 at Amazon. But if I'm going to post something this weekend that if they get it and send it to me, I'll with some postage so I can cover it, the postage back to them, I will be happy to inscribe it. But I'll put that up on the website this weekend. But it's for sale on Amazon and in stores and everywhere. So, and it's doing very well. I'm very, very pleased. It took me 7 years to write, so at least it's getting some good reviews. I wasn't toiling in vain, but a lot happened in those 7 years. It wasn't just writing that book, but finally I finished it.
Mm-hmm. And they can check it out at Books A Million in Hot Springs. And, of course, you'll have it at the film festival, and they can get autographed copies.
Yes, there I will have it, and I will be pleased to inscribe it to anybody.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm going to buy it at the film festival so I can get an autographed copy. And
well, bless you. At least I'll sell one, huh, Tom?
Yeah, you've got one.
Yeah, good.
Sold.
All right, I'll make the trip for that one and all, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, though. All of those great people who are going to be in attendance there, not me. I'm just a simple fellow. But, boy, I tell you, you know, James Drury, all those people, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm bringing my wife, Linda. Or actually, she's bringing me.
Mm-hmm.
When you read the book, you'll understand she doesn't let me out of her sight. It's kind of funny. We've been married 40 years, and I'm an old guy now, but my father had he had an eye for the ladies, and so she's not letting me out of her sight. So where I go, she goes. She's my keeper.
Yeah.
So we're coming together anyway.
Now, your dad grew up in Canada, didn't he?
Yes, he was born in Quebec City.
Mm-hmm.
Emigrated to the United States in 1922 to the beach city of Venice, California, which is right near Santa Monica, California.
What brought him to this country?
I think the weather. It's cold in Canada, and his father, my grandfather, was a railroad engineer,
mm-hmm.
and he worked on the Canadian Pacific Railroad on the run between Montreal and Quebec, and. And they just—they had a distant kind of an aunt who was in Southern California, and they kept talking about in letters that I have about the orange trees and the flowers and the beautiful sunshine. And I think it was just too much for my grandfather, and he just packed his wife, my grandmother, and dad up. He was born. His real birth name is Willem Ford, which is Welsh for William.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came to Hollywood and was fortunate enough to become a movie star, they changed it to Glenn. But that was it. I think it was the good weather and he was always very fond of Canada. I mean, he always held a place in his heart for Canada. But he mm-hmm. became a naturalized citizen in 1939 and had quite a long 7-decade career.
Mm-hmm. What influenced his? When he was growing up, what influences did he have in his family?
Well, I don't know his father died when he was very young. His father, my grandfather, died at age 50.
Hmm.
My father had just established himself at Columbia Studios, and he was, I think, in the middle of his fourth or fifth film. They were, low-budget ones then, but But really, I have, my grandmother was the ultimate mother. I mean, I have my father's baby teeth. I have his first haircut cuttings. I have his report cards, any little scrap of paper he wrote on. I mean, she was a devoted mother. And but I think looking at his report cards, he wasn't the best student. It wasn't bad, but his focus always, even as a small child, was on acting. And there's cute in some of my grandmother's letters that when he was even up in Canada before they came here at like age five, he'd hide behind the curtains in their house and he'd throw the curtains open with great, you know, great gusto, and he'd start reading the newspaper. So he was a ham, as they say in the business, from the get-go. And when he came to Santa Monica, he got involved with many, many, many different little theater groups, and he was always acting and active. And it was because of one of those plays he was doing that a scout came from 20th Century Fox and discovered him, and he made a few screen tests. The first didn't go well, but he finally got a job in a film in 1939, and then he went to Columbia and he became a movie star.
Mm-hmm. So it's not something he fell into accidentally. He always wanted to do it.
Yes, and he worked very, very hard at it. And he never really was a student of, you know, like Stanislavski or the Method or any of those kinds of teachers. I mean, his experience in actually performing on stage to live audiences in little theater was where he honed his skills, and he had a great voice. Even as a young man, I've talked to a lot of people who were with him in high school, and they said he could project, you know, to the ends of the auditorium wherever he worked and acted, and his voice was the thing that carried him initially. And then, you know, he became, in my opinion, Tom, I don't think he ever gave a bad performance. He was in some less than wonderful films, but you can never catch him acting. I mean, he's just a consummate actor, and one of the reasons I wrote the book is because he never really got his due by the Academy and his peers. I think the fans out there have always appreciated him, and he has, even to this day, even though he's been past almost 5 years now, I mean, he still has legions of fans who appreciate his acting ability, but the Academy and the different professional organizations, you know, he got very few recognitions, which I know he didn't care, but it drives me crazy. But
yeah, and unfortunately, that's quite common. We see that over and over again.
Yeah, it's a shame, really. He didn't care. Again, it's not him, it's me. And of course, I'm an only child. So my mother was, for anybody out there who might like musicals, in fact, she played in Harp Springs, Arkansas. My mother's Eleanor Powell, who
that's
was
right.
a dancer of some note. And when she made her comeback, I know she played at the Vapors, I think it was called, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, when she was, you know, dancing in the early 60s. So.
She did, and I saw her perform, and she gave a wonderful performance.
Thank you. Yeah, she was also, you know, I just come from a lot of, you know, a background of people who like to perform, and she in her own right was, I mean, Fred Astaire told me personally that, and I've heard that he's written this in some different articles, or quoted anyway, that, you know, she was the greatest dancer in film, including himself. So I'm very proud of that she, you know, succeeded in her craft as well.
And we're going to talk about her a little bit later in the interview, but our guest is Peter Ford, son of actor Glenn Ford, who's written a great bio about his dad, and we're going to be back in just a moment. But we're going to stick with the Ford topic because, Peter, before we take a call, I have to ask, do you drive a Ford?
I do. I have a Ford Escape.
Okay. Well, that ties
and my first car was a 1932 Ford Roadster that I put I can't say the Chevy word, but I had a Chevy engine in there with two four-barrel carburetors, and, man, that thing was fast. I scooted all around town in that baby.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm calling from Hot Springs, and I was a great fan of Glenn Ford, especially the Westerns.
Uh-huh.
And Glenn Ford, he could handle a Colt single action revolver about as good as anyone. I don't know if he had natural ability, but he was as fast on the draw, and, you know, it just, especially with the movie, you know, The Fastest Gun Alive, he was really handy with that gun, and it seemed like all of his Westerns, he could handle the Colt real good, and I just wondered if he might have had some special training, or was he just a natural with the gun?
Well, if I may answer that, first of all, I have that gun, by the way, here on the wall of the house on a plaque. It was given to him by the director and the producer of that film, which I'm very proud of. And he, you'll see, it, one of the townspeople in Fastest Gun Alive was a guy named Carl Petty. And Carl Petty was a fast run gun guy. There was another guy in town named Rod Redwing. And those two guys were teachers. And in fact, I think they both might have gotten a credit in the movie as townspeople. But they were there to teach my father how to draw. He could draw and shoot that Colt in 0.3 seconds. And
I know
he was incredibly fast.
It seemed like he was just a natural at it.
Yeah.
He could draw, cock, and fire as fast as anybody I'd ever seen in the movies or in actual person. He could do it.
Yep, no, you're absolutely right. And he also, additionally, you didn't mention this, but and for all those Western fans out there, he was an incredible horseman, too. He could really ride. I think he was probably only 3 or 4 people, you know, who could ride like my dad did. So he was a real cowboy. And and you know,
yeah,
I mean, he's just born in Canada. It was just a natural thing. But he really loved doing those Westerns. They were his favorite type of film. But I have that gun. If you ever come to Beverly Hills, my friend, look me up, and I'll let you handle that puppy.
Okay. Well, I am a great fan of the Colt single action, and I've got one myself. And it was a marvelous piece of weaponry. And he and Mr. Ford, Your daddy, he was one of the best that
Thank
can
you.
Handle a Colt single
Thank
action.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Nice
Thank you,
talking
sir.
To you, and you have a fine day, sir.
Yeah. Tom, you know, I'd bring that down to Olive Branch, but I have a feeling with TSA these days, I wouldn't get too far.
No, that's true.
Even in my suitcase. I'd love to let people see that gun, and but, you know, I think these days that's not going to happen, but... anyway, yeah, no, he was a really fine horseman and a good shot, no question.
Did he own his own horses?
No, he actually didn't. There was a stable called McCutcheon Stable, who they were locally here, and the McCutcheon Stable kept a couple of his horses. The one that he used in most of it was a Tennessee Walker, and he used it was Tenny. That was the horse's name, but he used Tenny in a lot. There was another horse called Sunday. So whenever he knew that he was going to, you know, be cast in a Western, which he loved, as I said, he loved making Westerns, he would call Bob McCutcheon and just, you know, try and reserve one of his horses, especially Tenny.
Mm-hmm.
And one film he did, gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but Tenny was being used by another actor on another film, and he was, you know, I have all of his diaries. He kept a diary starting in 1934, and I have every diary that he, and I can tell you what he had for breakfast on, you know, I'm making up a date, you know, May 6, 1958, and writing this book, it was a blessing and a curse. It was a blessing because I had so much information, but it also was almost too much, and that was one of the reasons it took me so long, because I have all of his letters and his diaries, and it was just overwhelming. But
you had to get over some of the shocks, didn't you?
Well, yeah, there was a lot in there. A lot of things I didn't put in the book because, one, we didn't have room. I could have written War and Peace, you know, like a 6-volume. And every time I turned something into the University of Wisconsin Press, who is my publisher, they said, no, cut it. So we got it down to the bare bones, but... it's 123,000 words, not that people count words when they buy books, but I originally turned in a book of 300,000 words, so it's basically almost, you know, a third less than it was, but it's just, you know, people weren't going to buy a very expensive, big, thick book, although I had a lot to share.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is Peter Ford. We'll be back and take a phone call in just a moment. Our guest is Peter Ford, the son of actor Glenn Ford. If you have a question for Peter, the numbers are 922-5880 or the toll-free number, good from anywhere, 1-888-922-5880. And if you have a regular Ask Your Neighbor question, you can call in. We'll take a few of those, too. How did your dad get his Columbia contract?
Well, as I said, he made his first film for 20th Century Fox, an epic by the name of Heaven with a Barbed Wire Fence, which I say that teasingly because, you know, it wasn't an epic, but it was a first film, and he did fine. Fox did not pick up his contract. He was on a six-week contract.
Mm-hmm.
He was making, I believe, $150 a day for 6 weeks. And, of course, for him at that time, you know, he was working. He was just doing our jobs. He worked in a paint shop and stuff. So that was a fortune. And somebody at Columbia saw him, and they signed him to a seven-year contract. And he wasn't making much more than that a week, but it was guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was a pretty good paycheck for a young guy. And he made his first film there. It was released in 1940. It's called My Son is Guilty. And he did a lot of films until he was on a loan out later, which basically, for those people who don't know, when you're under contract to a studio, they own you, basically, mm-hmm. in every way. But at that time, Harry Cohen was, of course, the head of Columbia, and Lou and Lowen for United Artists Corporations wanted to hire my father to be in a movie called So Ends Our Night, which starred Margaret Sullivan and, of course, the great actor Frederick March. And that was in 1941. And Dad did that film, and that really kind of put him on the map. And Harry Cohen then realized he had, you know, something more than just a journeyman actor. And so that's when Harry Cohen decided, well, I'm going to do more with this young man. And that's when he put him in the movie. Right after that, he put him in this movie called Texas with his what was to become his really good friend for life, Bill Holden. And Texas started some, you know, more important films. And then he went on from there, to make the you know, one of the great film noirs of ever done called Gilda with Rita Hayworth, 1946.
And that was a breakthrough for Rita Hayworth, too.
Yes, she had done some work, but, of course, that one united the two of them together, and they ended up making five films together. But it was you know, quite an important film for Harry Cohen, for my father, certainly, and for Rita as well. And, of course, you know, that dance she did in the black dress, you know, put the blame on Mame. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she became like a pinup for all of the, not all of them, but for many of the boys, you know, overseas fighting and you know, for dealing with. She had become quite the, you know, Betty Grable. And
yeah, she was one of the pinups of World War II.
Oh, yeah. But Gilda was a big film for my dad, and it was and I knew Rita so well. My dad actually met her. There's quite a nice story in the book about her. I mean, it's their whole relationship, and there's a lot of other things in there.
Mm-hmm.
But he met her early on, actually, when he was helping his dad work down in Venice, and then they worked together in 1940 in a low budget film for Columbia, and then of course they did Gilda, and they were a couple, shall we say, for.
Mm-hmm.
For many decades after that.
Hmm. Yeah, she had a traumatic childhood. It started very young as a dancer with her dad, and she was a very shy person, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Very, very shy, and very misunderstood. But I knew her so well. She came to my wedding, and she lived next door to us here. My dad, as I said, passed in 2006, and I, being the only child, inherited his house where I am here now today. And he purchased the land to build this house from her when she was living next door.
Hmm.
They had a romance, Tom. Then there's a reason my father got divorced. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
My mother, bless her heart. She was long suffering, as anyone who buys a book will read, and he did. There's a little bit of Bill Clinton to
mm-hmm.
give you an Arkansas connection there.
Yes, yes.
A little bit of Bill Clinton in my father. I mean, his libido was functioning to the very last day of his life. He loved women, and they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, he loved to be in the company of women, and so. He wandered from the nest, and he got caught, and he got divorced. But that never stopped him. He
How long was he married to your mother?
They were married 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a film, one of the ones he loathed, called Loves of Carmen. And it's in the book. I don't want to give all of the goodies away, but
right.
they were working in Lone Pine, California, which is upstate here in California, and it's cold up there. And they had an encounter, and quite frankly, she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother found out, and it was quite traumatic. They had been married. I was 3 at the mm-hmm. time, and there was hell to pay. But she decided that she was going to stick with him, and he apologized. I don't know if that slowed him down any, but she stayed with him until I was 14. And in mm-hmm. California, that's the age of majority where a child can choose which parent they would want to go with. And of course, my mom was just a blessing to me, and I decided to go with my mom. So she just stuck it out, and unfortunately, the marriage did not last. But it's all in the book.
Okay. And you check that out at www.glennfordbio.com. Our guest is Peter Ford. We'll be back in a moment. Back with you live on Ask Your Neighbor. Our guest is Peter Ford. The numbers are 922-5880 or toll-free 1-888-922-5880. Now, your mother got out of the business, I assume, to be a housewife and to raise you, Peter?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
But then she decided after the marriage broke up to stage a comeback, and as you mentioned, she played the Vapors in Hot Springs and some other top nightclubs around the country. Was she in her late 50s, early 60s at that time?
She was born in 1912, and she opened at the Sahara Hotel in Las Vegas in 61. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, she was 50 and looked great.
Well, she did. Yeah, she worked herself back into shape.
Yeah.
and hadn't lost a thing.
No, she was just wonderful, and that went on. And unfortunately, my mom was, although she was a great talent, she was not a businesswoman, and sadly, I was not in a position at age, I was, 15, 16, I was not in a position to help her. And she, I don't know, basically, she did, the comeback was not financially successful, let's leave it mm-hmm. like that. I mean, everybody was, all of her dancers and musicians and all, they were traveling first class and on the airplanes and with a meal allowances, and of course, mom just, she was not a business savvy, and so it just was not, it was a money-losing proposition. Although she was making a lot of money, it was,
mm-hmm.
the expenses were greater than
mm-hmm.
income. So she just retired.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Where are you calling from?
The Village.
Go ahead.
Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you realize how much you sound like your father?
Do I?
You do. It's amazing. I'm in my car. But I remember when your dad was married to Kathy Hayes, Catherine
yes.
Hayes with a K.
Yes.
And how long was he married to her?
They got married. I was best man at that wedding. They got married in 66, I think it was, and they were married about 2.5 years. And I liked her very much, by the way. Linda and I were just in New York doing some book stuff. And I was hoping I could see her there, but we have not talked in a long time. But I liked her very much. She was a very, very fine woman. Yeah.
Yes, she was from my soap opera, As the World Turns.
Yes.
And
yes.
I remember that she was married to your father.
Yes. Yeah. A very, very wonderful, wonderful gal. I really liked her a lot.
Good. I'm looking forward to your book, Peter.
Well, thank you. I don't know. People are. I guess when people can post things on Amazon, and there's 5 reviews, and I looked at them the other day. I've never written a book before, so I don't know about this stuff. But boy, they're blowing reviews. I'm very pleased. People are enjoying the book, so I'm very happy.
Right, and he's of my generation, so I really look forward to reading
it. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. How sweet.
Yeah. Catherine Hayes. was a longtime actress on As the World Turns, playing Dr. Bob's wife, Kim.
Kim. No, a very nice lady, and that also didn't last. I don't know the whys and wherefores of that, but my dad was just one of those people who just shouldn't be married, Tom. there are some people like that. I think Katharine Hepburn said it in another way, that when you're a movie star or a serious actor, let's say that, you don't have to be a movie star, but, that's, I think, part of the problem, if that's the word. My dad gave so much to his craft, and, it's at great expense. He was really dedicated. He was married to his craft.
Mm-hmm.
And, at the end of the day, when he'd come home, aside from the picadillos and the infidelities, that aside, I mean, he was tired, and you have to learn your lines the next day, and you get up early, and you work hard, and I think in many ways, movie people or serious actors, they it's easy to say, but in the abstract, but they really shouldn't be married because they're already married to their work, and I think that's what happens to a lot of them. They just it's difficult. I mean, I've been married, as I said, 40 years to my very best friend. And I'm very lucky to be with her, but it takes work for all of us guys out there who are married. It's not work, but per se. But it you have to work at it to be a good husband, or I guess a good wife too. So there just wasn't enough time for my dad to do both.
Mm.
So he was not ever happy in love, unfortunately for him.
Peter Ford is our guest, and we'll be right back. Let's take another call. Peter, good morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually calling from my car.
Are you? Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Ford. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I love the older movies, and especially the ones that your father starred in. The quality is nothing that can be matched today, I do not think.
I agree. I love the old ones, too.
And did he not star in Tea House of the August Moon?
Yes, he did. Thank you for remembering that. Yes, he did. And
it was wonderful.
Yes.
Such an endearing movie.
Yeah, I love that one. And he was so good in his comedies, too. And that was supposed to be Marlon Brando's movie. And everybody was talking about how Marlon was going to take that movie away. And in my opinion, I think my dad stole that movie from Marlon.
Oh, he definitely did. In fact, I just watched it about a week ago.
Yep.
And I thought, this is just absolutely so well done.
Isn't
I just loved
it. He was so good in that.
And I just appreciate the fact of who he was.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you thinking that about him.
Well, you're quite welcome. And you have a great day.
Well, thank you.
Now, I have to mention Cades County, because you were in that with your dad, his lone television series, 1971 to 1972. I watched that every week. My wife and I, we enjoyed it. It was one of our favorite shows. Unfortunately, it just lasted one season. And I went back and checked, and one of the reasons was the scheduling. CBS did a terrible job in putting it on. The competition, the first half hour was ABC Sunday Night Movie. The last half hour was up against Bonanza on NBC. So yeah,
that was unfortunate. We also had some problems with the United States Congress, in particular Senator Pastore in those days, who felt the show was too violent, and he made it his cause celeb to do everything he could to get that show off the air. That's a long story, but CBS was hearing from our government that they were ill-serving their public service, television rights. So they got a little nervous, between Senator Pastore and the scheduling, it was doomed. And I was a regular on that series, I was hoping that would get picked up, because we despite all of that, we had pretty good ratings, really. But unfortunately, it was canceled.
Where was it filmed?
We filmed it at 20th Century Fox over here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of location shooting, out in the deserts around here. It was supposed to be hypothetically, it was Maricopa County, Arizona, where Sheriff Arpaio is these days, making mischief, I guess, although I like him personally. But it, yeah, it was supposed to be Arizona.
Mm.
And they used the old paint and place set for the, you know, for the town square.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, I was working with Edgar Buchanan in those days on that series. And, of course, all of you Western fans out there, you know Edgar. He's one of the great guys ever.
Yes, he was.
A wonderful character actor and just a sweetheart of a man.
Mm. Our guest is Peter Ford. We'll be right back. Well, Peter, it's been a delight having you on this morning.
Well, thank you, Tom. I wish everybody could come and visit me and maybe you if you're coming up to Olive Branch, Mississippi for the Western Clipping Show. I'd really like to meet everybody and talk about the old days of Hollywood.
Yeah, that's the Memphis Film Festival. The date's again June the 2nd through the 4th at Whispering Woods Hotel and Conference Center. Go to the website, westernclippings.com or memphisfilmfestival.com, and then Peter's website for the book, www.glenfordbio.com, or you can buy it on amazon.com. And Peter, if you'll stay on the line, I want to chat with you just a few minutes
more.
In the meantime, Tom Nichols, thanks for listening, and make it a nice day. KVRE, Hot Springs Village.